We're joined now by one of the country's top employment lawyers, a senior partner at Levitt LLP in Toronto, Howard Levitt. Howard, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Can we talk a little bit about the issue of harassment, criminal harassment, in the world of social media? Is it becoming a big issue, and are we really delving into a world of criminality when someone harasses somebody on social media?
Well, you've got to understand criminal law, and there is the tort of harassment in criminal law and public mischief. So when someone dogs someone, doggedly, so to speak, in social media, privately, personally, telephone calls in the old days, now social media today, it is criminal harassment, or at least can be.
The kind of issue we're seeing here in Ottawa, two prominent individuals, both hockey players, their significant others are at the center of this, one alleged to have harassed the other. Are you hearing issues like this with your clients where somebody is alleged to have, you know, harassed somebody by creating false identities online and putting out spurious information?
Not very often. And generally, when you have two people on the same team or two employees in the same workplace, they're really cautious about behaving that way because they're afraid they're going to get fired, which they would be in a private corporation.
Yeah, I guess in this case, there's an attempt to obviously conceal the identity, and some question about whether in this day and age one can really be successful in doing that, that there are IP addresses, there are ways that people can track down, and thinking that you're operating in a world of anonymity is probably not a safe bet if you're engaged in this kind of practice.
Well, when people make millions of dollars a year, when you're dealing with a company that has obviously the assets to hire the best IT professionals, then you're taking a real risk, and your IT professional had better be much better than the other side's IT professional, because you're right, it's often traceable, but sometimes it isn't. And sometimes you use addresses from other countries, and it really is impossible. So you're hoping there's a confession made along the way. It's a little like the old confessions made in prison from one person to another, and then it all comes back to haunt them. You hope they slip something somewhere to admit it's them, because sometimes it is possible to conceal things.
Yeah, I mean, this is the strangest case that I think I have seen, and I'm wondering whether some people engage in certain activity online in social media, not realizing that they may have crossed a very dangerous line here into, you know, threats and intimidation and harassment, and thereby finding themselves, you know, confronting, you know, the order of the law, as opposed to just, you know, criticism from friends and
or a civil suit. People think, people seem to have this misapprehension, excuse me, that everything is okay and fine in social media, and of course, it's not true at all. In fact, it's the opposite. And I'll just take a step away from criminal law for a second. If you libel somebody in social media on the internet, the courts in Canada have said the damages are much greater than, say, in a newspaper or on a radio station, because it's forever. It's there forever on the internet. People can access it forever and has therefore much greater potential reach. Whereas what we're saying right now, except to the extent you post it on your website, is just said once, so isn't as damaging. So that's the civil portion of it. And of course, you can criminally harass as well. And people don't realize, as you say, that they're what the limit is of criminal harassment, because they don't know the criminal law.
Yeah, I guess, is there a threshold where people cross and then they're really in legal trouble? I mean, I guess it's one thing to maybe bully somebody online. It doesn't rise to maybe the threshold of criminal activity, but what is the line?
I'm not a criminal lawyer. I'm an employment lawyer, so I really can't speak to it, but I understand if there's some form of physical threat or fear of some kind. But again, I'm not a criminal lawyer. I'm not the best person to ask about that.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you from an employment perspective. The Ottawa Senators employ these two hockey players. They have admitted that they've known about this for a few weeks now. They now say they're launching an investigation. Is there a certain liability or responsibility of an employer in a situation like this, do you think?
Well, I think it's more the other way around. There's a responsibility of the employee toward the employer not to do things or let their partner do things that are going to damage relationships within the team. And let's assume for a moment they were working for, I don't know, Imperial Oil or the city government in Ottawa or any private corporation, and one of them had their spouse viciously attacking another employer, another employee's spouse, there's a duty on the employee to say to their spouse, stop this, and do whatever they can to make them stop this. There's been cases in Canadian law where people have been fired for cause as a result of conduct of their partner, of their spouse. So employers have a right to step in and say, this is impermissible. It's damaging morale. It's damaging our brand. It ultimately could be cause for discharge of the employee whose spouse is doing it.
Yeah, we have cases.
Making the attacks.
Yeah, in this case, we have obviously denials by spouses and whatnot, saying that they do not believe that their spouse or their significant other is involved in this sort of thing.
And let's assume we can prove later on, or the team can prove, that they're lying, that they did know, and their spouse did do it. That would be cause for discharge, for lying about it.
Is there
point
an
law perspective.
Yeah, is there an extended liability to that? That could Eric Carlson's wife, for example, who's the victim in all of this, sue for any kind of damages?
Sure, I'm just launched a case today on Lindsay Shepherd against Wilfrid Laurier, and I'm suing for those kinds of damages: intentional infliction of nervous shock, the tort of intimidation. There are things you can sue for exactly this kind of conduct.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how this particular case plays out, and perhaps a broader lesson maybe to younger people who are engaged in social media. It is their generation that has really grown up with social media. Maybe some of the social norms have not, you know, created the appropriate laws, I guess, and rules of conduct around it that should have.
Well, that's right. And understand, if you're criminally convicted, it could have real life limiting impacts, even things like not being able to cross the border, not being able to go on vacation outside of Canada, as well as, of course, not being able to be hired by many employers. So think about what you do carefully before you do it. And it doesn't matter if it's on social media. People are inclined to be more careless on social media, and that will haunt them for life.
Howard, I really appreciate your insights in this. Thank you very much. Very strange
case. Anytime. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's Howard Levitt, a senior partner in the Toronto-based employment law firm Levitt LLP.